want to read two verses in Psalm 8. Psalm 8, if you look there with me. Psalm 8. You can wear out my patience as far as my love is concerned. And you too, you love, and you know that word is thrown around so carelessly today. Love this, love that, love. It's thrown around, and as much as I care, I love the church, I love my family, I love, you know, people, my love will wear out. It runs thin. And yours does too. It has an end. My love has an end, and it has a limit. And I think that's especially when we look at, and if you go to comparing your love with the love of God, well, there's just no way to compare that. Because the most loving and giving person that you know, when you try to compare them and the way they love to the love of God, there's no comparison. You just can't, you can't compare. And we run out, we wear out, and we lose our ability to love. But God does not. There's a lot of verses that describe the Lord. I'm gonna go ahead and start reading with verse number 1, but I'm just give more attention to verses 3 and 4. Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man? That thou art mindful of him, and the son of man, that thou visitest him. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Now that just means that you're in the thoughts of God. And when we start comparing that, the fact that God who spoke the worlds into existence, God that created everything that is, the God that not only gave you life, but he gave his own son so that you could have eternal life. That God that had this glorious plan of salvation in his mind, he thinks about you. He thinks about me. We're in his thoughts. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? It's more than you can even think about, more than you can even comprehend, that you are in God's thoughts. Amen. Amen. Years ago, there was in the news this lady that was the first person, the first woman to be executed for murder, for anything for that matter, since the Civil War. She was in Texas. This is back in the 80s. And her life, when you read about her life story, it was horrible. She started taking drugs when she was 8 years old. Her mother was a prostitute, and because there was all this going on in her household, she got sucked into that same kind of wickedness in her own home. The innocent little child taken into that. She grew up hard. She grew up full of hate, and she covered up all of it, what she's feeling, by her addiction. and involvement in drugs and things of that sort. She's 23 years old. Her and her boyfriend broke into an apartment to steal some things. And in so doing, confronted two other individuals, and there was a horrible, just a gruesome, horrible murder that her and her boyfriend killed this young man and young woman in this apartment, brutally murdered them. And she was, of course, convicted of the murder and wound up in a state penitentiary under this death row. For 15 years, she sat on death row. But not long, it was in the first year that she was in prison, that someone from a teen challenge center came and they conducted she said she heard that it was going to be like a puppet show. And she went not knowing what it was. She just went because she had nothing else to do. But somehow in that little presentation, the gospel got through to her. She heard it for the first time. And she went back to her cell, got a hold of a Bible, and started reading the Bible. And this woman who had committed such a horrible, horrible crime and murder, that woman got saved. The testimony of everybody around her in the prison was that, this wasn't just a jailhouse religion. This was the real thing. She got born again. For 15 years, the warden, the chaplain, everyone in that prison, they realized that something had really taken place in the life of this Carla Faye Tucker was her name. Carla Faye Tucker. 15 years she worked to restore, and even the families of those that she had murdered, she worked to seek their forgiveness. And there's a lot to the story that I can't take the time to tell here tonight. But during that whole 15 years, there was a restoring and a transformation, and she left a written testimony with the chaplain of what Jesus had done and how that he had accepted her and how that he had loved her when she was such a horrible person. Now, I don't love like that. People like that, I say things like, well, they deserve what they get. I'm on the side of judgment. When I hear about horrible things that people do, I'm on the side of condemnation. Most of the time I'm thinking, well, they deserve to receive a horrible punishment for what they have done. And that's in the hands of God, and that's in the hands of the authorities to take care of that. But it's in my heart, or should be in the heart of every believer, to believe that love can reach anybody. Amen. Amen. The love of God can reach anyone and can change their life. Romans 5 and 8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. All of us born in our sin, all of us guilty, every one of us here tonight, guilty. We deserve judgment. That's what we all deserve. But somehow the love of God reached down into a home in Oklahoma when I was just a young person. That love of God reached down into my heart and into my life and changed me. And you have the testimony, most everybody here, no doubt. That's what the love of God was able to do. D.L. Moody met a young preacher when he was in Ireland. And the preacher's name was Harry Morehouse. And he said, if you're ever in Chicago, ever in the United States, come and I want you to preach in our church. He was surprised. It wasn't very long at all that Harry Morehouse came to preach for him. The first night he stood up to preach and he said, my text is John 3:16. And he preached about God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That was Harry Morehouse's message. The next night he got up and he said, tonight I'm preaching from John 3:16. This went on for night after night after night. And Moody at first was getting really annoyed by this, but he said, the more that I sat and listened to him expound on the love of God and go through all of these wonderful scriptures, he said that was his theme, but it was a different message and different thoughts every night. But the theme was, God so loved the world. Night after night after night after night. At first he was annoyed by it, but then he said it was transforming. D.L. Moody said that, those meetings, those messages about the love of God changed his whole life and his whole ministry. Changed him. Because he said, before, I was always thinking about, you know, that judgment, that sinners deserve judgment. And they, obviously they do. But he said, I wasn't allowing the love of God to affect me so that I would love like God loves. I have to admit, much of the time, I don't. But the scripture says that God commended his love toward me, toward you. While we were yet sinners, he died for us. The Bible also says that that God is love. That's who he is. He contains love. That's who he is. That's the Bible description of who God is. God loves in ways that we can't even imagine. We can't even conceive of it. That he loves the wicked. He loves the evil. He loves the criminal. He loves those who when we think about those in the sins, the horribleness of their sin, we back up. We're, it's something that we resist because people in their sin go further and further away from God, and they become almost like animals in the way that they live, and we reject them. But God loves them. God loves them. Amen. And he extends. God is love. He is love. And the Bible says that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Our life can be filled up with God's love by the Holy Ghost. The more of his presence, the more of his spirit that we experience in our life, the more that the love of God just fills our heart and we love more like he loves. Amen. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon, the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful? We're in the mind of God. We're in the heart of God. That he loves us when we are unlovely. And he has provided love to everyone. People who die and go to hell are going to go to hell because they have resisted the love of God. They have rejected and resisted the love of God. He says, when I look at the heavens and I look at the work of his fingers, even the heavens describe for me the glory of God and reveal to me how great he is. Amen. Oh, how wonderful it is to know a God who loves in a way that we cannot, and that we need his love in our heart so that we can love those like Carla Faye Tucker. By all accounts, they don't deserve to be loved. Let me tell you, the story of God's love is a story that we're going to spend all of eternity learning about. Amen. Amen. We're going to go to heaven, and we're going to learn throughout the endless ages about the greatness of our God and the love of our God. We're going to see just how, right now we know in part, we see in part, we comprehend just in part. But then we're going to see him face to face. Then we're going to comprehend who he is and the greatness of the love of God toward us. Amen. Heaven is going to be a glorious revelation of how much that he loves. There's so many great stories of the love of God. One that I love is the story of David and Sway Flood, missionaries. I can hardly pronounce her name, S-V-E-A. David and Svea. Svea Flood. Young people, along with another young couple. They were from Sweden, called of God to be missionaries. They went to the Congo in Africa. And they went there with a desire. They were like in their 20s. They had a desire to reach those people. That was their motivation for going. They went, they literally had to hack their way into the jungle. Every village they went to, the people would not allow them to stay there. They rejected them. They tried several villages. They wanted to be able to move there or somehow begin to get close enough to influence them. Every one of the villages they went to, they rejected them. So finally, they just found them a place out in the jungle and hacked them out a little place there and started living there in those harsh conditions. They were rejected by all the natives, all the nationals that were around them. They were rejected by them. And so it wasn't long until the one couple, the Ericksons, that was also with them, they decided to leave the jungle. They went back to the city, to the main mission station there. But the floods stayed out there in the jungle. Not long after the Ericksons left, I wish I could pronounce her name better, Sway Flood. She got sick with malaria, terribly sick. This went on for weeks and weeks. She was sick. And she was also expecting their second child. She died 17 days after this little girl was born. And all the time that she was sick, there was a little boy from the village that would walk to their little camp and try to sell them fruit and various items. And so every day when he would come, or however often it was that he would come, she was sick and laying there dying. But every time that he would come, this little boy would come, she would talk to him about Jesus, and she'd witness to that little boy about Jesus. She didn't even know if he understood what she was saying. She would just witness to him and talk to him about Jesus and about the love of God and how that God wanted to touch his life and change his life. Week after week after week after week, he would come, and then she died. Her husband, David, he got so bitter. He buried her out there in the jungle. He goes back to the mission station, and he leaves this little 17-year-old girl with the Ericksons, his friends that they had come to Africa with. And he says, I'm going back home to Stockholm, Sweden. And there, I don't want anyone to ever mention God's name to me ever again. I never want to hear about God ever again. 3 days later, after that little baby was turned over to the Ericksons, they believed that they were poisoned. The Ericksons were poisoned, and that little baby was left again and was passed to an Assemblies of God missionary. And was raised in the northern part of the Congo by those missionaries until she was grown. She came to the States as a young woman, and there she met a young man. She always had in her mind, though, she wondered about her father. She wondered about her brother. Maybe if there were any other siblings, she always wondered about them and prayed for them and wanted to be able to see if she could ever meet them. Years went by. 40 years have gone by. And she goes, she has an opportunity, her and her husband, they're in the ministry, and they travel to Sweden, and she is able to find some of her family, and they tell her where her father is. He's in a very impoverished area of the city, and she goes to the room where he is, and he's laying in a bed, dying as an alcoholic, diabetes in terrible condition, just about dead. And she says, Daddy, I'm the little girl that you left in Africa. And he can't believe it. How is this possible? He said, I didn't really mean to leave you behind. She said, it's okay. The Lord took care of me. He said, no, God didn't take care of you. God forsook us all. She spent the time with her father there, telling him about the love of God, telling him about how God had preserved her life and protected her down through the years and put her in the family that she needed to be in. And she was married to a minister now, and 40 years have gone by. Her father is 73 now. This is the most incredible story. I heard it the first time through David Wilkerson. Then I've got a book that has this story in it. And her new parents, they named her Aggie. And that's the name of the story that's in a book, Aggie. And but she witnessed to her dad. She prayed with him. And she sang the hymns that her mother used to sing to him. Well, later she found out that her father was transformed by that encounter. He was so transformed that he began to paint pictures of the Congo. And he began to speak only in Swahili to those that would come around him. It was like God restored him and changed him so much that he didn't go back to Africa, but the love of God was in his heart for that place where all the bitterness was born. God replaced it with love. All these years later, her father died when he was 73, but he died having been restored back to God, changed. Now, the best part of the story is the part where about 3 or 4 years later, she goes to, her and her husband go to a large meeting of missionaries. I believe it was in England. And there, the speaker was a black man by the name of, I'm going to have a hard time with this one, Ruhugita. He was the superintendent of the Pentecostals of Zaire. He was the speaker, and he preached that night, powerfully preached. And afterwards, her and her husband went to speak to him and to talk to him. She said, "You were in the very country where I was born. And I had to leave there later." And she told him the story of her father. And he said, "Did you ever hear of the floods? David and Sway flood." His face lit up. "Did I hear?" "Yes, I heard. I'm the little boy. I'm the little boy that came to the camp, and she would talk to me about the love of God." He's this now the superintendent of the Pentecostals of Zaire, Ruhugita. One little boy that the love of God reached in that little village. And now he's influencing thousands. Amen. Now that's a good story. It's really good because it's the truth. Amen. Amen. I don't know. I don't understand the love of God. I only know in part. You only know in part. But I just know this much. God loved that little baby enough to preserve her life. God loved her father enough to restore him after all those years of bitterness. God loved the people of the Congo that later became known as Zaire. He loved the people of the Congo so much that he allowed that one little boy's life to be so changed that he became a mighty leader and a preacher for God in that nation. Wow. That's how much he loves. That's just one story. That's just one story. Heaven is going to be all of these glorious, wonderful stories and revelations of how that God extended himself to people all over the world and in every generation. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's a wonderful thing. So when I think I give out and I wear out and my patience runs thin and I don't have, my love comes to an end, it comes to its limit, I have to be reminded of the fact that where my love wears out, God's love is just barely started. It's just going to continue reaching and reaching and reaching to the unlovely and to the undeserving, reaching into the prisons, reaching into the hopeless circumstances, even in far off villages in some forsaken place in this world, the love of God is getting through. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's how much He cares. God is love, and the love of God can be shed abroad in your heart. Amen. I've said this a lot of times, you know, whenever I think of someone, you know, people coming and getting saved, we think, well, wouldn't it be nice if a nice little couple would come in with two perfect little children and they'd get saved and they would be the addition to our church that we'd like to have. And that's not the way God looks at people. God looks at those that are in a mess. Their lives are in a mess, wrecked, ruined, because He wants to demonstrate how great His love is. That it can't, there's no limit to it. There's no way that you can exhaust it. It's more than you can even understand or comprehend. That it reaches into the dark and wicked and evil places, into those that are undeserving of the love of God. But God is reaching there. Hallelujah. He's reaching. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. When your love runs out, then you need to ask the Lord, Lord, what I need is You to fill my heart by Your Spirit, the love of God. Let it be shed abroad in my heart. Let my heart just be filled with the love of God by the Holy Ghost, by Your Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then we'll love those the way He loves them. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You. I thank You, Lord. Lord, that Your love is greater. It's greater than I can understand. I can't explain it. I can't describe it. I just know, Lord, that You do love. And You are love. And Lord, that motivates us. And it should, Lord, cause us to desire to have this same kind of love in our hearts for people in need. Oh, Lord, stir us, stir us, stir us to see that Your mighty hand, Lord, that You'll work in so many amazing and wonderful ways to get the love of God to people. Hallelujah. Lord, I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of that through prayer and through involvement, through participation, through giving, or whatever way, Lord, that I can be a part of it. I want to be Your hand extended to this world. Hallelujah.